To give us his special welcome address, the visionary of this movement, the president of Godiha Foundation, Dr. David Owuele, is in the house today.
Amen.
Good evening, Enugu. First of all, I want to specially, from the depth of my heart, bring special thanksgiving on behalf of the youth of Southeast to the Governor, His Excellency, the Governor of Enugu State. He and the team worked hand in hand to make what you see this night possible. He's a governor that loves not only the young people, he supports it, and he's actually a young man himself. I want to thank the DG of the Institute for National Transformation, Professor Vincent Anibogu. You may be seated. About 10 years ago, we launched this movement at Eagle Square in Abuja. If I'm correct, that is likely to be under the administration of President Obasanjo, and then later President Yar'Adua, and then President Jonathan, and now our President Muhammad Buhari. The National Youth Summit has survived 4 different administrations. It has benefited every part of Nigeria. It has benefited Northern Nigeria more than any other part. Because we have done more projects for the northern part of Nigeria than any other part. This is the first time the Youth Summit is coming to Southeast Nigeria. And for the next 5 years, we are going to be in Southeast. We decided to start with the gate of Southeast, which is Enugu State. And then, of course, next year we'll go to another state and go to another state till we have covered the 5 states of Southeast, and hoping to do the 6th state, which is yet to come. And then we can move to another part of the country. Right now, everybody that has ear to hear and everybody that has eyes to see will know that all the agitations that are going on in the country is about this neglected part of the nation, which is the largest in population. Over 90 million people are within this class you call the youths. If you remove 90 million out of the population, you know what is left. This is the most significant part of the nation and is the most neglected. And that is where most of the agitation, or most of the headaches, who are the ones that do the crime? Who are the ones that rape? Who are the ones that do political thuggery? Who are the ones that do armed robbery? Who are the ones that do assassination? Even when the politicians conceive the idea, who are the ones that do the leg job? It's the young people. You neglect them. No matter what else you build, it will end up in ruin. Because all our churches today, it doesn't matter whether it's headed by a bishop of 70 years old, they will end up leaving and handing it over to a young man. The youths we are neglecting now are going to run our states. They are going to run our governments. They are going to run our banks. They are going to run all the institutions. They are going to be the fathers and the mothers of tomorrow. They are going to be running all our major industries. So we better give them attention, because both our future is in their hands. If you are a parent, the future of the family you are building now is in the hand of that child, that teenager, that young man that is being neglected. What kind of future will Nigeria have? The answer is simple. Let's look at what kind of youths that we are developing. Your Excellency, you know, nation building has two sides. There is hardware and software. The hardware is developing infrastructure. You are doing a great job. I can see a lot of transformation in Enugu roads and all sorts of things happening everywhere. But there is a software. When you build a computer, build a hardware, it can't function without the software. The software part to nation building is human capital development. That's what decides whether every other thing we do is going to make sense. Hello? Are you still here? Let's do something fast. I want to say one or two things, and I want us to pray. What we are dealing with is beyond man now. It has gone beyond man. I'm grateful that our national anthem, the second stanza, recognizes the role of prayer in nation building. It said, "O God of creation, direct our noble paths." Can all of us keep quiet for just a few minutes? Let's ask God to speak to the youths of Nigeria, not just to those who are here, because we are broadcasting to every part of the country. We have people from every state in the north. We have people from Maiduguri. We have people from Sokoto. We have people from Taraba. We have people from every state in the north here. It's not just southeast. Other parts of the nation are represented. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. You are the creator God, not the created God, which we hear about in different places. The one made by human beings. No, you are the one that made us. You are the one that made the heavens and the earth. The whole world is in the palms of your hands. You are so powerful that you can breathe out the universe with words, ordinary words, spoken words from your mouth. You created the world by your words. This night I ask that you speak those creative words one more time, that can frame our world, our universe, our individual worlds together, and put back the broken pieces of our lives together. One of the names they call you in scripture is a potter. You are a potter. You are skilled in molding lives. Take the life of every young man here this night and put it back together. Mold it back. Give meaning and direction to every man here. There are some of us that are living wasted life, yet we are tremendous investments, because you made us in your image. I ask that the greatest waste of all, the waste of human life, we cease this night. That this night we're going to make a recovery of every life, of every destiny that is represented here. Seated in this stadium are future governors. Seated here are future senators.
Seated here are future industrialists. Seated here are people that are going to create jobs for thousands of people. Seated here are future AYs. Seated here are future Obamas. Future. I pray tonight that by your supernatural and creative power, that you will not allow anyone's life, one more future, to go down the drain. You did not create any of us to be failures. You created us to be success. Turn around everyone's situation. Speak with that voice that raises the dead, that changes destinies, and let your name be glorified at the end of it all. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I have something short to tell us. Is a message God gave us to the youths of Southeast. Our brothers and sisters from different parts of the country, bear with us because we are going to speak more to the need and the challenge that we are facing here. Because we need every part of Nigeria to be healed, every part to be whole, for the whole nation to be whole. You see, standing here as my body, if my leg is not working well, even though my mouth is functioning well, there will be a problem. I might have to hop up here on crutches. In nation building, every part matters. Eastern part of Nigeria has been sick for a while. And I want to appeal to every other part of Nigeria to treat the Southeast with compassion and understanding. And understand the unique challenges our young people are facing. About 50 years ago, exactly around this time, we lost close to 3 million people, young people. While every other part of Nigeria was functioning, this whole part was under bombardment. We were in war. And when you talk about the Nigerian Civil War, you need to know that that war was happening right here in the East. It was not happening in the Southwest. By the time the war ended, the young man that was in the same class with his colleague in Ibadan or in Lagos have lost 3 years in school. Many of them were dead. I've been part of Black Emancipation Project in South Africa, especially after Mandela came out of prison and power moved from the apartheid government to the black people. Everybody understood the plight of the blacks and understood the need to go and rebuild. Knowing that wounded people wound people, hurting people hurt people. I'm begging every part of Nigeria to look at what is happening in this part of the country, both those in leadership, with compassion, with a new eye. Don't see it like people who are trying to rebel. See it like wounded children that are crying out for help, that require our compassion. It's true that we have tribes and tongues. But remember that before the Tower of Babel, we were all speaking one language. We were all born of one man. There is actually one humanity. I'm looking forward to that time when black people will love each other so much that they will protect and love every black man, help every black man anywhere you see him. We have suffered more than other people groups in this planet. The simple message God gave us to bring to Enugu is what we tied to the Joseph Revolution. We came here to launch a new kind of revolution. Who are the Josephs? Before I mention that, I need to explain. There are three major sectors, tribes, if you will, institutions that God uses to bring national emancipation. The first
And this model is being drawn from the Jewish phenomenon. What God has done with the Jewish nation. He started that project with one man by the name of Abraham. He got a son by the name of Isaac and another son who is Ishmael. And it's from Ishmael that our brothers, the Muslims, came from. And I want to talk to my friends who are Muslims. Both the Isaac and Ishmael came from one family, one father. It's Abraham. Abraham's house is the melting point of religion. And it is from that Abraham's lineage that Christianity came. So what is all this fight all about? Abraham trained one son who became the father of Islam. He trained another that became the father of the Jewish people. And then a descendant from Judaism became the father of Christianity. What is all the fight all about? It's just one family. One family. Now, the project of nation building began with this man and his son Isaac. And then Isaac gave birth to Jacob. And Jacob gave birth to 12 young men. 12. These 12 young men are called the 12 patriarchs of Israel. They were the building block of that nation. Each of them built a tribe. The first one, whose name was Reuben, built one tribe. Another one built another tribe. Another one built another tribe. And at the end of the day, there were 12 tribes in Israel. Nigeria has more than 12 tribes. We have over 350 ethnic nationalities here. But the truth is that you can trace all of us and all of the black race to one man. His name is Cush. He is the descendant of Noah, who founded the black race. Noah had three sons. The one that is called Ham became the father of the black race. He was black among his brothers. The one that is called Shem became the father of the Jewish and the Arab people. The one that is called Japheth became the father of the Caucasians, what you call the white people. All of us are Hamitic people. You are Hamites. But out of that, then tribes began to come. Because at the Tower of Babel, God separated people based on languages to create different cultures so that human society would be manageable. That's why even under the government of His Excellency, the whole state has to be broken down again into senatorial zone, into local government, into wards for easy management and administration. The breakdown is not to turn one people against the other. The purpose of diversity is to give us strength, beauty, and color, not to turn us against each other. There is no real unity until we first recognize diversity. Look at unity here, my brothers and sisters. I'm speaking with a mic, no cord, no wire. But this mic cannot transmit my voice except it works in unity with the amplifiers. The amplifiers have to pick what I'm saying into the mic, and then the amplifier and the mic, two of them are not enough. They have to transmit it to the speakers, and then the speakers will broadcast it for you to hear. This is Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working on this stage to get us, help us to communicate. But look at the mic, it's different from the amp. Look at the amp, it's different from the speakers. That is diversity. To have unity, you must first recognize diversity, recognize differences. To create a family, you need a male, then you need something different for him, a female. But when you bring them together, you can create children. It's true now, there are some new type of marriages where men marry men, women now marry women. Those are man-made. And how you know that it's not God-made is that it cannot reproduce. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? It doesn't deliver. It doesn't. So after a while, the frustration gets out of hand. They now start transgender. They want to alter their organs to be able to do. Why will you be going for fake when there is original? But it takes unity of opposites to create results. That's how all every child born on this earth came into existence. When I want to write, I have a paper in front of me. I don't need another paper. I need something different from the paper. I need a biro. And when I add the biro to the paper, we can create a book. We can create a story, a written script that you guys later can turn into a drama or a movie. If unity is aligning things that are the same, it is no more unity, it is uniformity. It's like when you have choir, they wear uniform and they all sing like this. It doesn't mean they are united. It means they are uniformed. Uniformity is not unity. To do that, what you do is you destroy differences. Anybody that is not like you, if I'm not a Muslim, I declare war on you. If you are not a Christian, I declare war on you. If you are not from my tribe, I declare war on you. No! It is time to go beyond your world and realize that you need other people's world. That the world is bigger than your little sect, your little myopic ideas, your little myopic beliefs. That God, the God of the universe, is the God of variety and diversity. Look at the animal kingdom. How would the animal kingdom be interesting? I go to South Africa, I visit their zoos and the wildlife. How will it be interesting if the only thing I see there is tortoise? I get tired after I've seen 3 or 4, 5, 6 tortoise. I need to see some tigers. I need to see some elephants. I need to see some giraffes. I need to see some other stuff. It is that variety that makes the wildlife interesting. Look at the forest and the vegetations. How will it look like if it's only banana we eat from January to December, then January to December, banana, 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 banana. No, but look at your God and how wise he is. He gave us banana, all right. He added apple. He said that's not enough. He added mangoes. He said, that's not enough. He added oranges. Why we are still talking about that? He added avocado. And that's how diverse he is. And that principle is what he used in developing the human family. Even though I've learned to love myself, to accept myself the way God made me, but I did not love myself enough to marry another me. I look for something different from me. Somebody that can do what I don't have ability to do. Help me talk to the person beside you. Tell him, hello. Tell him, neighbor, be careful how you treat me. I might be the answer to the problem you'll be having. Tell him, I'm glad you're sitting beside me. It's good that you know me now. Before they start addressing me as Your Excellency. I'm sure there are people who went to school with His Excellency, who sat in the same class. But who cannot assess him now? What if they took time then to build friendship? Be careful, you don't know who you are sitting beside. You don't know who that man is. Every human being you see is a package, a letter written by God, a message sent to a generation. It's a package, a sealed parcel that is yet to be unfolded. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? You don't know who that man is. I have learned to respect people, respect gate men, respect drivers. I answer my drivers, sir. When they finish driving me, they drop me. I say, thank you, sir. I answer all our pastors, sir. I thought, sir, it's only for big people. No. When my children bring me water to eat, they bring me food, I tell them, thank you. You don't know who that little boy will be. You don't know whether he's going to be the next United Nations Secretary General. You don't know who he will be. That's why we're investing in your future. We are spending millions to invest in the future of young people in this country. The reason is that you are the one that is going to be in charge of tomorrow. I'm glad for His Excellency and many others who have manifested, but they are now in charge of yesterday. He is still in charge of today. But soon, it will be your turn. When you see things going wrong in Nigeria and the people in office are refusing to do something about it, don't let it unnerve you. All you have to do is do exactly what we have heard tonight. Develop your own plan, get ready, walk your way into such places where you can begin to make a difference. Let me go back to the message. We have three major sectors that God uses to bring national redemption. Number one is the spiritual sector, the issue of the priesthood. The reason is very simple. I don't want to talk about that a lot. The reason is very simple. Government can build roads, they can build schools, they can make laws, but they cannot take the laws and legislate it in the conscience. There is only one institution that have the ability to reach the human conscience, the ability to change morals and values, the ability to transform a human being from inside out, and that is the religious institution, and especially the church. If you are being called into that terrain, never take your mandate lightly. Martin Luther King Jr. began on the pulpit and then ended up changing the destiny of every black American. 40 years after his life work and labor, the first black American president emerged from the soil of the seeds that he planted. The most powerful man, the most influential man that ever lived, came from this sector. Right now, the history of the world is decided by him. You talk about BC and AD. After the death of Christ and before Christ's birth, the man that we call Jesus Christ changed literally the world from this sector. You want to change the world? You want to change your society? This is one of the most powerful platforms for influencing humanity. That's why I pity people who practice religious deception. They take power so awesome that they can use for so much good and turn it into something else. People who see ministry and priesthood as a means for selfish accomplishment. People who see that as a means for just making money. The second sector is the political sector, government. That's what they call the public sector. There's so much that can be done with political office. So much. So much. The third is the economic sector. Now, when the project for the building of the nation of Israel started, one of the first things they did was to raise priesthood for them by taking one tribe, the tribe of Levi, to focus on developing priesthood. Their job is to take care of the spiritual, the moral well-being of the nation, to become the moral conscience of that nation. They called them the Levites. They took another tribe, the Judah tribe, and made them to focus on government and public sector, the issue of governance. The understanding is that after spiritual leadership, that without political leadership, nation building, we can pray and pray and pray. In this country, we pray about everything. We pray about Alempa. We pray about most of those things that we are praying about in church, sending up to God to do. He raises men and women in government to be the answer to those prayers. The political is not about vertical connection with God. It doesn't deal with salvation. Government cannot save your soul. They cannot forgive your sin. They can't change your morals. But they can provide amenities and make life better for you here on earth. Some of you, that's where you need to cast your eye and your vision and walk your way till you get there. And then use that power to do so much good. The third sector, they took another tribe, Joseph. He was second to the last boy, the 11th son. And they focused him on business, the economy. And that's the message we brought to Enugu. Because this one is about private sector. It's about initiatives, not going through government. Look at a Dangote. How much power and influence that man has. He doesn't need to contest election. He's more powerful than all the five governors of the five eastern states put together. He's more powerful than all of them. Look at the Big Gates. With what he created, a private sector initiative, Microsoft, is more powerful than many African presidents put together. You may not have to go into government. You may not have to work in the public sector. You may never be a politician. But there is a platform through which you can change your world. You can send 10,000 children to school by first starting a business, creating jobs, putting food in the table of many families. You can be the one that 1,000 families depend on your company for their monthly salaries. The school fees of all the children born in those families. If you do an average of 4 children times 4,000 families, 4 children times 1,000 families, 4,000 kids, you can be the one responsible for sending 4,000 children to school. Making sure they don't turn out as a liability in the society. That's what we mean by the Joseph Revolution. Percent of what it takes to do nation building, to develop the economy, to develop any nation is in the hand of the private sector. It's in the hand of individuals like Joseph, who start with innovation, who start with a dream. Look at AY, who start with an idea and turn it into a franchise, turn it into an enterprise. Joseph began only with a dream. I need to say something here, because God Almighty made us in his image, after his likeness. What he means that man is a small God. That's why I pity anybody worshiping iron and wood and all those things that are made. If there is even anything to worship in creation, it should be creation, it should be worshiping man. Don't worship anything that man made. You are devaluing yourself.
The only thing you should worship is the one that made you. God made us in his image, after his likeness. What he means is that his potentials, his abilities, his creativity, his innovations are in us. We are capable of much more than we understand.
Now, I have read the Bible, and it started this way. In the beginning, that's when time, they began to count time. God created the heavens and the earth. And I used to ask myself, what about 2 weeks before the beginning? What about 1 month before the beginning? What if you were invited, the only human being that existed after God? And you were invited in time, and you stood on a street called nowhere. There is no land, no planets, no rivers, no animals, no vegetation, no human beings, no stars, no sunlight, no moonlight. There is nothing existing. Pitch darkness. No planet existed. And there's only one man existing, and his name is Yahweh, the Almighty God. And then there's a second human being existing, and it's you. And they bring you. And you walk up to this man called God, and you shake his hand and introduces himself. He said, my name is Yahweh. Who are you? And I said, I'm David. Will you call him a poor man? Because he doesn't have a car. He doesn't have a house. He doesn't have a throne. He doesn't have heaven. He doesn't have earth. He doesn't have animals. He has not made silver and gold. There was nothing. But you meet him. What will you call him? Poor man? Will you call him a failure? Some of you will, because you measure success by what has been accomplished. The difference between me and many people is that my wealth is not in the things you see. My wealth is intangible. My wealth is within. The business I deal with intangible resources. I don't deal with Naira. I deal with intangible resources. Look at 30 days in Atlanta. It was an intangible resource hiding inside a man, an idea. And then that idea was fleshed out. Finally, when they finished developing the script, it took many days to work on. But finally, they took that thing out of the dream world to paper. And finally, from paper to a full-blown movie. And now it broke all the known boundaries in the entertainment industry. Since the arrival of that idea, nothing like that has attracted that kind of wealth, that kind of money in just a few weeks. What kind of wealth is that? You see, fire can come here and burn down this keyboard, burn down this whole stuff. And when it's burned, a person who does not understand the intangible says, I'm finished. They have killed me. My house is burned down. No. My house came from inside me. That's where I store my money, not in First Bank. The money I have in bank is the one you have seen. The one I have inside is far, far more. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? That's where God's wealth was. A time came. He began to dream what his universe will look like. He dreamed heaven. Do you know what the scripture said about heaven? He said it's a city whose builder and maker is God. If God designed heaven to fit his dream and test, what is your dream house going to be like? That you don't have a house now doesn't mean anything. There are resources invested in you because the image of God, the capacity of God, the potentials of God, the innovations of God, his creativity are all residing inside you. So you were sent to this earth planet a seed. And what seed need is to land in an environment. And then he releases from the inside tentacles to draw resources from the environment to unveil the hidden code. The hidden code is that there is already a DNA that has decided this one is going to be mango.
This one is going to be apple. This one is going to be this. What DNA is a human being carrying? This man is carrying a DNA. I'm the image of God. I'm made in the image of God. I have the capacity like Almighty God.
My grandmother used to say, Beke Babala, that white man is a god. Because he can make something that flies in the air. He can make something you can drop and the whole city will be destroyed.
No.
Beke is not only the Abara. Every human being has the DNA of God. Oh yes, something happened to us. We fell. Through rebellion and sin, we fell. But then, the man that made us sent an agent from the factory. And he came and died for us on the cross to repair what was damaged. So, you can't be complaining about the fall because there is now salvation and redemption. It's only you rejecting it. And I say it this way. When God gave us Jesus, he gave us everything. But he went a step further. When he gave us the Holy Spirit, he gave us himself. Because what he did is that he took the same Holy Spirit that lives in him and put him in us. What he's saying is, I'm inside you. You can do what I can do. A wise man in the scripture said it, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. And this is how I want to end. The 12 boys ganged up against Joseph because Joseph had a dream and he saw his future and he was bold enough to share it, and jealousy struck them and they ganged up against him. They wanted to kill him and eliminate him. And I one day sat down and I was reading that story. And I said, why will a Judah be envious of a businessman? How can governor that is called into the Judah sector, the political sector, be envious of somebody that has a transport business in Enugu? Because power is more powerful than the economy. With power, you can create 1,000 billionaires just like this. Judah has a definite destiny. But now he is driven by jealousy because at that time, he has not discovered it. So that jealousy, that jealousy drove him to want to eliminate his brother. Do you know what? Levi got involved in the jealousy and was among those that was plotting to get Joseph killed. How can a pastor, a bishop, the Pope be envious of a businessman? He is supposed to do his job. Let the man do his business and bring in the tithe. But he gets envious because as at that time, he has not discovered his own purpose. I want to announce to you, ladies and gentlemen, when you have not discovered your purpose, your reasons for existence, you live other people's lives. You become a photocopy. You know, I can see the comedians that have ministered to us this night. They are professionals. They are delivering to the point. When you see an AY, he's not just a comedian, he's a businessman. This is a wise, skilled entrepreneur. But somebody else will now think that the entertainment industry is the only field. And maybe that is not your field. You try. The comedy thing, it only work. Dry. Even though I think AY, if they sack him from that side, he can also join us on this side. He seems to, some people are multi-talented anyway.
But some people are living other people's lives. There is a story of a school where they train different animals. And so they set exam for them at the end of the semester. And they were trying to produce A-class performers, brilliant students from this school. And this time the exam is swimming. and all the animals have to jump into the swimming pool and swim the Olympic size swimming pool. And each time they do it, they find the elephant drowning. They find the cows drowning. They find the horse drinking a lot of water. They carry the horse outside and they have to press the belly for water to come out. The horse got F in class. And now they go to another course. The course is running. You know, when they were swimming, the sharks, the dolphins, all of them got A in the class. Until they moved to running, they have to sit and run 200 miles. And at that moment, the dolphin got stuck in the sand. The shark got stuck in the sand. And guess what? The horse that got F made A. But because he was running, the eagle didn't do so well. The eagle was hopping like this, and he got F. Until they moved the class to flying. And they were shocked that this time around, that horse that got A got last. And the eagle just took off. And he arrived, went back, arrived again, went back, arrived again. These guys were still running. Went back the fourth time, arrived again, they were still running. And finally they got there. He was there waiting for them. And then the professors called for a meeting and said, there is something wrong about our style of education. We are trying to make everybody successful in everything, and that creates failure. That we need to now change the model to first help people discover their passion, discover their gifting, and then give them all the training that is around that gift and all the training that will help them turn that gift into profitable venture. And then we create A-class performers in society. So somebody is calling you a failure because you failed in his own area of calling. You don't fail in your own area of calling. Nobody is a failure. That's why you need to discover your purpose for existing. Look at your giftings. Look at your abilities. Look at your talents. And you will find where God has carved out for you in life. Just look at this. The boy they called Levi was a priest. The only daughter that they have in that family, Diana, was a musician. He was into the arts and culture entertainment. The one they called Dan. All his descendants were judges, lawyers, judiciary. What is a lawyer envying a politician? Don't you know that when the governor has court cases to annul his election and all that, he's going to look for these guys? His destiny is in the hand of a judge. His destiny is in the hand of some senior advocate of Nigeria. And so you need to see the kind of money certain people are paid because they are able to deliver a governor, deliver a senior president, deliver even a president out of. Why will I be envious of the one? Why will I be in the legislature where I make the laws that they execute and be envious of the one executing it? The tribe of Dan, they were judges. If you go to the tribe of Issachar, they were into education big time. They are the ones that train all the politicians, train all the leaders of the society. They have the gift of wisdom and understanding and discernment. You go to the tribe of Naphtali, they were into sports. Each tribe had a redemptive gift. Every one of you belong to one tribe in the Israel of God. Every one of you have an area where God has planned and gifted and enabled you, where you are anointed. Because where you are anointed is where you are going to be planted, and that's where you're going to prosper. Anointing is not only for pastors. There is anointing for everything. My prayer tonight is that instead of being envious of somebody else's success, celebrate the person and then look inward
to see where your own oil lies. There is oil in the dwelling of the wise. You see how all our wealth comes from the earth crust. All the marble, all the crude oil, all our gas, all the wealth we are using on this planet earth. All our stones, all our paints, all the things we're using to build. Iron, aluminium, we're using to build aircraft. We mine them from the ground. Even our food. There is another ground that God created. The earthen vessel. He said we have this treasure in earthen vessel. It's the human resource. There is so much wealth buried inside you. Subject yourself to training. There are three things that makes a Joseph successful. One is spiritual and moral capital. That guy was so disciplined. He got to Egypt. His master's wife wanted to sleep with him. But he knew, I will not sleep with a married woman and truncate with my destiny. There are enough girls in Egypt to find at least one or two for myself. Than to be meddling around with a married woman. There are perverted sexual behaviors. Stay away from them. They can truncate your destinies. There are a lot of them. You don't see a good girl, it's a child you want to go and rape. Spiritual and moral capital. This guy was close to God. He knew the role of God in his life. The second is intellectual and professional competence. That's what my friend was talking about. Mastering your craft. Being the best. Look at AY. He came into the comedy industry. Look at how he has carved a special place for himself by displaying excellence at a level that we have not seen in Nigeria till that time. So it's not just intellectual, because you need to get education, get some training, get yourself developed. But it's not just intellectual, but professional competence in the field you have chosen. Be the best. In that field that you say you are called into, take it to another level. Raise the bar high. Don't pamper yourself when it comes to excellence. No. Don't spare. Hone your skill till you become the best. And let me tell our people from the Southeast, there is no discrimination against excellence. There is no marginalization against competence. Joseph was not from Egypt. He was an outsider. He was from a different tribe. He was from another nation. Yet he rose to be the prime minister there. Because what they were looking for, the guy has. He has honed his craft. He has practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. Till he can't miss. It is something that happened to David when they gave him the opportunity to kill that Goliath with a stone. The scripture said David has trained 400 men and himself on stone throwing, that if you hold one strand of hair, a woman's hair, you just remove and hold only one. You know, one strand of hair is invisible. He said they will throw the stone and not miss. They will hit it. That was why when he got that one opportunity, the man was completely covered with his armor, metal armor. The only open place was the face, a small hole on the face. This guy put his stone, wind his distance. But because he has practiced and practiced, it wasn't only anointing. It is anointing plus skill that gets the result. Yes. So when you're developing spiritual stamina, become godly. Become close to God. And his favor, his anointing, and all of those things will come upon you. But when it comes to professional competence, know your job so well. Doesn't matter if they just wake you up, you will deliver. Can you imagine a comedian? You didn't prepare, but they just give you the mic. You will deliver. And the last is political and social influence. He knew that relationship makes the world go round. So even while he was in prison, where he would interpret dream, he would tell the guy, when you get to the throne, remember me. He was building social network, his social capital, enlarging. Not despising people, building relationship anywhere. Because you don't know, that guy you refuse to greet might be the one that will open the door for you next. Collecting, building. That's why there's a proverb in Igbo land, enlarging. Enlarging his connections. And one day, it was one of the boys he touched while they were in prison that introduced him to Pharaoh. And when he got before Pharaoh,
Just one opportunity, like David, he delivered. And that changed his destiny. Sometimes that opportunity you've been looking for comes. May you not miss it the day it comes. Everybody lift up your hands. Father, I pray. I don't know what we have said and what you have enabled us to say. From the last message to AY's message, because he took it to another level and brought it down to what we are sharing now. Use what has come here this night to change the life of every young man that attended this year's conference. We're going back to the entertainment and all that section, but don't let the messages vanish. Write it on the tables of their hearts. I pray tonight that Enugu State will be blessed with a new, hardworking, enterprising, and innovative young people like Joseph, who will grow up and take what our leaders have done and the past leaders have done to another level, who will reshape the economy of this state, who will build new businesses that will contribute to the GDP of the state, who will build new businesses that will create jobs. It is the Joseph Revolution. I ask, Lord, let it begin tonight. Let everybody here live with a vision. Let everybody here live with a dream. Let the jealousies end. Let the envies end. Let the negative competition end. Let the positive one begin. Let everybody here live knowing that they are carrying solutions and answers to the problems of our nation. If there is somebody here, for some reason, their spiritual and moral capital is deficient. The way your life has been going, most of it have been wasted either doing crime, doing some things that are not going to help you or help other people, doing things that annoy God. You are here. You would like to make this night the turning point of your life, where a personal transformation begins in you. Get off from your seat and come down here and come and meet me. Run. I'm going to pray for you. Run, 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 because I have just 2 minutes left. Just stand from the line. As you come, just lift up your hands. God is going to do something in your life. I will hold you while I pray for others. You want this night to be the turning point in your life. Run. Come and meet me here. Your Excellency, it's from this state I was sent forth to the nations. I want to thank you. I think this project is something that should happen annually. A lot of training has happened this week. It should happen annually at the state level. The Ministry of Youth Development and of course my friend, you know, Dr. Asogwa, we have worked together for years. This 10th year of launching the National Youth Summit. Because where the army for making any other thing work comes from. Even winning an election. It's true. Now lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Now listen. You need to keep quiet so you can hear what we're saying. Say, Lord God, I surrender my life to you. You are the potter. I'm the clay. You have ability to make me what you want me to be. So I take my life as a clay and put it in your hand for you to mold. I repent of my sins. I'm sorry for the way I've lived my life. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. Redeem the investment you have made in me. Save me and set me free from all those things that are working against your plan for my life. Be who you created me to be. I want to be a blessing to my generation. I want to be an asset to my society. Take my life, cleanse it,
change it and use it for your glory. Use it to affect my generation. I promise you, from this day forward, I will not live a wasted life again. I will live a life of purpose and a life of meaning, and your name will be glorified in me. In Jesus' name. Can I hear you say amen? Can I hear another amen? Whatever gift, whatever talent that God has put in your life, which have not yet manifested, we are calling it forth now in the name of Jesus. Whatever destiny you are carrying, the world has not yet seen it, but God has seen it. I'm asking by the power that raised Christ from the dead, that destiny will come forth now. Whatever God blesses, nobody can curse. Whatever God blesses, that thing cannot fail. I'm asking for the blessing of God to rest upon your life. That from this 2017 National Youth Summit, your destiny will be altered. When we see you next year, you will have stories to tell of what God has done in your life. Any of you that came here sick, I rebuke that sickness to leave now in the name of Jesus. You will leave here whole so you can pursue the destiny God has called you for. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you.